House Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Friday, May 3rd, 2024. Let the record reflect the time is 3:34 p.m. Today we have President Representative Prox, Representative Wright, Representative Carrick, and myself, Representative Sumner. Staff will be assisting us today are Kevin Allen with House Records, Zachary Lawhorn with the LIO, and Clark Bickford, my staff and committee aide to House Labor and Commerce. Today's agenda has four hearings on the consideration of governor appointees. We will hear from Tammy Schultz and Emily Jackson Hall to the Alaska Labor Relations Agency, Ryan Sherritt to the Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, and finishing with Mark Saya Ampanthan to the Workers' Compensation Board. We're going to start with the appointment of Tammy Schultz to the Alaska Labor Relations Agency. Mrs. Schultz, please put your name on the record and begin your testimony on why you would like to serve the state in this capacity.
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. I appreciate you having me present to you for my reasons why I enjoy this board. I was appointed back in May, and I've had some wonderful opportunities to hear and understand some of the labor relations issues that have happened in the state. I have been very lucky to be a part of those, to help appoint those. As a labor relations manager for a small critical access hospital, it gives me much more exposure to some of the larger organizations that I get to be learn from, grow from, take back to my own employment. Of course, not the cases themselves, but just what I've, the knowledge that I've grown from those, being able to be a part of that piece.
Okay, thank you. Do any committee members have questions for Mrs. Schultz? No? Okay, well, thank you, Mrs. Schultz. We will now open public testimony on the confirmation of Tammy Schultz. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify? And I see no one online. We will close public testimony. So seeing no other testimony on the appointment of Tammy. Oh, okay. We are now going to move on to Ryan Sherritt with the Occupational Safety Health Review Board. Mr. Sherritt.
Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ryan Sherritt. I am from Kodiak, Alaska. I was appointed to the Occupational Health and Safety Review Board several months ago, and I've had the opportunity and the pleasure to work with several administrative law judges in reviewing occupational health and safety-based cases. These occupational health and safety-based cases lay the foundation for protecting a safer workforce in Alaska, providing not only regulatory guidance as well as, again, a safer workforce and a healthier Alaska. My background is in occupational health and safety. I am a certified safety professional and a certified hazardous material manager, both through board professional registration. And I've been in this industry for a little more than 20 years. This is an opportunity to give back, serve in the public sector. Forward to, again, a healthier and safe, conscious place. Thank you.
Thank you. Do any committee members have questions for Mr. Sherritt? No? Okay. Seeing no questions from the committee, public testimony is now open on the appointment of Ryan Sherritt. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify? No? And no one online, we will close public testimony. Seeing no other testimony on the appointment of Ryan Sherritt, thank you, Mr. Sherritt. quick hearing. Okay, we are going to move on to the appointment of Emily Jackson Hall. Please put your name on the record and begin with your testimony on why you want to serve the state in this capacity.
Thank you. My name is Emily Jackson Hall. I live in Kosilov. I'm a full-time labor arbitrator. I retired as a lieutenant colonel from the Marine Corps in 2020. I served as an aircraft maintenance officer, and then later the Marines sent me to law school. And before I retired, I was the deputy circuit judge of the Eastern Judicial Circuit in the Navy Marine Corps Trial Judiciary. I moved to Alaska in 2020. I worked as an intern for the district attorney's office and then entered private practice before beginning my own arbitration practice. I was at a labor relations conference talking about expedited arbitration when I met the hearing examiner for the ALRA. She encouraged me to volunteer for one of the vacant public seats on the ALRA board because there was a need. I filled out the application online about a year ago, and I was happy to serve as a volunteer. It's been a pleasure to serve this year. Both the people on the staff and the other members of the board are pleasures to work with, and I truly believe that the ability of the municipalities and the boroughs and the people and organizations seeking to engage in collective bargaining shouldn't be hindered because we don't have people in the state willing to volunteer for these positions. As a labor arbitrator, I sit on numerous rosters, permanent panels, and have been chosen about 47 times to serve as an individual arbitrator. I'm a professional neutral. I've never had my neutrality or fairness questioned. I stand on my work, and I wouldn't shy away from having any party who's appeared before me answer to my fairness, both during the hearing and in my decisions. Before this week, I've never appeared before a Senate or a House committee. During the Senate hearing on Monday, I was rather surprised and somewhat dismayed to have three union representatives express concern that I was somehow anti-union. I should note I've never met before or spoken to or heard of the three individuals who testified that I was an anti-union person unfit to serve on this board. In 2019, while I was still on active duty, I was encouraged by senior officers to get involved with the community where I was headed, and I wrote an op-ed that was really about my concerns about healthcare costs for people who aren't government employees and cost sharing for those who are. I wrote a follow-up op-ed in 2023, which I hope would address any concerns that anyone might have about me being anti-union. I spent almost my entire adult life on active duty in the Marine Corps, and if you're not aware, service members can't join service member unions. I think it's really important to have a voice on the Alaska Labor Relations Agency Board that fully supports both unions and the local governments and the industries that employ union members for Alaskans to be able to make a good living. We need both of those groups for Alaskans to be successful. I've heard the concerns voiced, and I'm eager to fulfill the public seat on the ALRA in such a way that demonstrates to both unions and industry representatives alike that I'm completely committed to acting as a neutral for the benefit of Alaskans. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jackson Hall. Do any committee members have questions for Emily Jackson Hall? Representative Carrick?
Thank you. Through the chair, Ms. Jackson Hall, I just want to start by saying thank you for your service in the military and for volunteering to serve on boards and commissions. That is something that we need Alaskans to do, and so I appreciate when Alaskans step forward. I do have to ask you a question, and it's in response to, you said there was a follow-up op-ed, but I do have a Fairbanks Daily News Miner op-ed, which is my home community, so I read that fairly regularly, and it does talk about the cost savings, benefits to health care, et cetera, of not having collective bargaining. So I just would like a little bit more of a thorough kind of answer to the question that you began to address, which is, Would you say that collective bargaining facilitates harmonious and cooperative relations between government and its employees, or is it better for government to negotiate one-on-one with employees? And just in response,
you know, it's interesting because when I worked for the state of Alaska briefly, and I had to negotiate my own deal, yes, with the state, and having now lived here and having especially moved here during an interesting healthcare crisis that COVID was, I do think that having collective bargaining for large groups of employees can really help facilitate. I think that when you look at it through the lens of PIRA, though, you have to make sure that we respect or boroughs and municipalities that have opted out. But I do think that it's effective and efficient when unions are able to collectively bargain with the municipalities, especially because I think that as time has moved forward, everybody's interested in finding more affordable healthcare options for both government employees and non-government employees. But I think what else is really interesting is when, and I mentioned this in the Senate testimony too, you know, Wasilla was an opt-out, and they went through a referendum so that they could opt back in. So I believe that their law enforcement could unionize. And so I think that opinions can evolve. And I also really believe that rigid thinking in the face of new information doesn't help anyone. And so I don't operate that way.
Follow-up, Mr. Chair? And thank you, Ms. Jackson-Hall, for that answer. I wanted to ask kind of as a specific follow-up. We have about 6,000 employees at the University of Alaska. It's one of our smaller state collective bargaining entities. We also just have graduate students who just recently unionized and have just negotiated their contract. So would you consider those to be smaller groups of employees? Because I know you said collective bargaining can be helpful for large groups of employees. I'm just curious your perspective on some of those smaller entities of employees.
Well, I mean, when I think large, I think anything over like 10 or 20. I think you have to look at scale. You know, I handle cases sometimes for groups that have thousands and thousands, but I also handle cases sometimes for groups that have tens or dozens or hundreds. So, you know, I think if we're talking about, like, for instance, a municipality that's small, like let's say Homer as compared to Anchorage, if you have a group of people that is more than a dozen, I think you're entering into a scale where it becomes more efficient.
Okay. Anybody else? Yes, Representative Prox?
Yes, thank you, Ms. Hall. Or thank you, Chair Summer. And through the chair, what is the legal guidelines that you would follow as an arbitrator? Or what are?
As an arbitrator?
Yes.
Okay. So when I was a sitting judge, that we always said was read the law, follow the law, right? And as an arbitrator, it's the same thing. If I'm interpreting a contract, I'm going to go with the language in the contract. There can also be guiding law, such as past practice, that can modify the interpretation of what the language in the contract is, depending on what, you know, what a meeting of the minds was. But I think that you have to follow what the language of the law says. If we're talking about ALRA issues, there's guiding case law that needs to be read, understood, and followed when it comes to decisions that the board makes on whether or not a group is able to engage, for instance, in collective bargaining where it hasn't existed before.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? No? Okay, seeing no other questions from the committee, public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify? Please come forward, put your name on the record, and begin your testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. My name is Don Etheridge. I'm here on behalf of the Alaska AFL-CIO, and we have a lot of concerns about Ms. Jackson-Hall the Alaska Labor Relations Board. We don't think from reading the articles that she has written that she could be fair. And with just the health care as part of your concern that you say we should be following the Wisconsin model and not be able collectively bargaining, we have a lot of concern with that. when we have health care in our in all of our contracts, it's all negotiated and part of what the wages should have been or what we take in lieu of wages. So we have a concern there, and we don't think that she should be in a public seat. We think she should be in a management seat when you look at the articles that she's written. Thank you.
Any questions? Representative Prox.
Yes, thank you. Through the chair, Mr. Etheridge, do you have those articles available? I'm not familiar with.
I can bring them to you. I don't have them with me at the moment, but
okay.
I have them available.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You bet.
All right.
I have one more question, actually, for Ms. Jackson.
Oh, for Ms. Jackson. Well, let's close public testimony in there. Thank you. Okay. Seeing no other public testimony, we will close public testimony of Ms. Jackson Hall. Ms. Jackson Hall, I think Representative Carrick has one more question.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you, through the chair. So I guess I'm just trying to kind of wrap my brain around the differences between the article that was published in 2019 in my local paper versus some of the testimony I've heard today. Are there any current collective bargaining agreements that would be under the purview of the Alaska Labor Relations Agency that you think would be better negotiated on an independent basis?
Not to my knowledge at this time. And I would also, I'd point out also to Representative Prax as well, I forwarded to Clark Bickford a written statement, and I included that second op-ed that was also published in the Fairbanks Daily Miner that addressed sort of my evolving opinion on this after I moved to Alaska and had spent some time here. And I'm not exactly sure while the gentleman testifying from the public thinks that it shows that I'm anti-union. It was actually stating that I thought that my original statement was uninformed because I didn't live here then. And now that I live here, I've been exposed to a whole lot more issues that help me understand better that my perspective that I wrote in 2019 needed to be amended. So, anyway, I did provide that to Mr. Bickford, and he said he'd provide it to the members of the committee. So hopefully, Representative Carrick, you can get a copy of that.
Sure. Thank you. And I'm sure we'll see a copy of that. So thanks for mentioning it.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mrs. Jackson Hall. We will move on to Mark Sayampanathan. Sorry if I mispronounced your name, but why don't you go ahead and put your name on the record and begin your testimony on why you want to serve the state in this capacity.
Yes, my name is Mark Sayampanathan. I lived in Representative Tamaki's district and in Anchorage, and I am very interested in serving because as a employer representative, because I feel like it's important for injured workers to get a fair and honest hearing on behalf of employers when their cases are brought forward. And I think in my I've been appointed since middle of last year, and from my conversations with my employee counterparts, they feel like I've been I have been quite impartial with my the decisions that I've made with regards to cases that have come before me.
Thank you. Is there any committee members that have questions? No. Okay. Well, we will open public testimony on Mr. Sayampton. Public testimony is now open. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify? No? And looks like we have no one online, so we will close public testimony. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to take a brief at ease. Vice Chair Ruffridge.
Well, in accordance with AS 3905080, House Labor and Commerce Committee held a hearing on the following appointees. Signature on this report does not reflect an intent of any of the members to vote for or against the confirmation of the following people. For the Occupational Safety and Health Review Board, Ryan Sherritt. Alaska Labor Relations Agency, Tammy Schultz, Emily Jackson Hall. Alaska Workers' Compensation Board, Mark Siampanathan.
Okay. Thank you. We will take a brief at ease. Okay, we are back on the record. Seeing no other business before the committee, we will adjourn. Let the record reflect the time is 3:58 p.m.